You're listening to Talk Soap. The first rule of Talk Soap is that we do talk soap. So lather up as the hosts catch you up in the week of Daytime Dish. Now, here are your hosts.
Hey, everybody. Post-Happy Valentine's Day to all of you out there. The East Coast and one central person is with us. But we have Kelly. Welcome, Kelly. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Doing good, doing good. Michael, how are you doing?
I'm doing well as well.
All right. And Courtney, Miss Trip Trip, how are you doing?
That was awesome, Trip Trip. I'm doing good.
So you were saying pre-show you're working a lot this week. That's a good thing, right?
Yeah, I guess so. I'm tired. But yes, that's a good thing. Yes, working is good. Everyone should enjoy it.
Yes, everybody should enjoy it. And those who don't, just keep doing it. All right. That's all I guess I could say to that. Michael, how was your week? How was your Valentine's? did you have a date?
I did and I didn't. I had no romantic date, but I went out with my single friend Katrina, and we went out to dinner and a movie. And the movie that we saw may have been 50 Shades of Grey, and it was an experience.
Yep. Yes, we will be, for those that are listening, we will be covering a little 50 Shades of Grey, during our segment at the very end, which will be our Hot Talk But segment. So for those who want to weigh in and maybe get tied up and spanked, definitely tune in for that. Kelly, how was your Valentine's?
I don't even know that I can talk about it. It was so bad. Oh,
God. Before we go, you need to dump that guy. I'm sorry. You got to dump him. Just get him.
Okay. Just like a short summary of what happened. He had to work. So, I took him lunch. We had everything arranged. And I put together a little basket type thing of like some of his favorite stuff. So I had some cookies and some fruit snacks because he is like me and we're kids sometimes and we like fruit snacks. Don't judge me. A heart shaped box of chocolate. And then of course he's a Louisville fan, so I put some Louisville stuff in there. And I walked in and we had lunch and then I went out to the car and got the thing and then I brought it back in and he got this look on his face and I was like, what? He said, oh, you're going to be mad. I was like, why am I going to be mad? Like, I don't have a reason to be mad at you unless I actually do have a reason to be mad at you. And then he was like, yeah, I didn't have time to get you anything. And I'm like, okay, well, he did buy me a hubcap for my car. Because I've been driving around looking like white trash with only 3 hubcaps on my car for about 2 months now. But other than that, that was happy freaking Valentine's Day to me.
Yeah. Wow. I'm sorry. I'm gay, but I would have went out with you, gave you flowers, and even gave you little platonic kisses in all your lips. I mean, of course.
That was a lot right there.
Wow. Welcome to the show.
Welcome to the show. Sorry, I got 50 Shades of Grey on my mind. I just want to go get frisky with somebody. Anyway, moving on to Courtney. Miss Courtney, how was your Valentine's Day weekend?
I spent it at work, and I'm currently single at the moment, so I wasn't really expecting anything. And I work with my best friend, and so she had to work until 10 o'clock. We both work in the same retail store. And so I thought, well, our Valentine's Day sucks. So I went and bought her flowers and some Reese's peanut butter cups and took it to her to work. And she basically cried the rest of the night because it was the best thing that ever happened to her. I'm like, if that's all it takes, well. So it wasn't all that bad.
Wow. Well, all right. Well, I was able to go to a local Comic-Con down here in South Florida, which was a lot of fun. we went to go to see it and check it out. I didn't go all 3 days because it's just too much walking for me. But we did go one day, and I got to meet a lot of cool celebrities. Not really big A-listers, but I did get to meet Elvira and her breasts. Yes, and I had my business card with me at all times, so I slipped them to everybody just to see if I can get interviews with somebody. And then I met Ralph Macchio, who's famous for, of course, The Karate Kid. They were doing the 30th anniversary of that. So him and C. Thomas Howell and the bad guy and the bad guy's, kickboxer boss guy, he was all there. And then I met, for anybody who watches American Horror Story, I met Naomi Grossman, who plays Pepper in season 2 and in season 4. So you wouldn't believe it, but when you look at her on the shows, she just looks so hideous. She plays a very deformed woman on both of those seasons. And she's gorgeous. If you have never seen her in person, Google her and look at her without all that on. I mean, I didn't know what she looked like. The way she has her cross eyes and her big old teeth that's in there, I was like, well, maybe that's just some really a real quote circus freak that they found that could do the job. But no, this girl is beautiful. But anyway, she said she'd come on my show, and then I met Robert Englund, who played Freddy Krueger for the first the first series, which was pretty cool. And I met Samantha Newark. Does anybody know who that is on the panel?
I want to.
What did you say?
What's the name you said?
Samantha Newark.
Yeah, no, I've got nothing.
Okay. Well, if you're a child of the 80s, she was truly outrageous.
Now, see, Jem? You met Jem?
Yes, I met Jem, the voice of Jem and Jerrica.
I'm sorry.
I am so excited. So we became fast friends. We girl talked for a long time, and she's coming on my show, On Air with Douglas. So be sure to follow at On Air with Doug, because she's got some juice about the new Jem movie coming out this year. And I'm really, really excited to talk to her about that. So yeah, it was pretty cool. So, I mean, I got some interviews out of it. And then I also bought some Wonder Woman stuff from my collection, because I collect Wonder Woman stuff. So if anybody's out there that ever wants to get me anything, just send me Wonder Woman stuff, because I love it. All right. So let's get right into everything that's going on. There's so much going on right now in daytime. Well, I say that about GHYNR because I don't watch the of our lives, but I'm sure they'll catch us up on that as well. But let's get into some Young and the Restless now. Chuck Pratt Jr., as we've talked about before, he is now the head writer over there at Young and the Restless. Jill Farron Phelps, of course, is still executive producer, but when we have a new head writer now, because Josh Griffith is gone, now he's going over to Days. It's like the rotating, when you're ringing around the rosy type thing with daytime writing right now, but they're all scrambling to do what they can to continue to stay on the air and be number one and be the best and do their best. Now, before I go forward, I always say this when I talk about the soaps, I'm talking about characters. I don't bash actors or actresses on the air. I'll leave that to my private Twitter account to do that. Because there may be one person in particular that I can't stand, and I lost about 50 followers for saying something about that character and actress. But anyway, everybody's entitled to their opinion, because I have learned this week, once again, you put your opinion out there about a daytime show, you can... This week, there was a lot of stuff that happened, and it was... So we got Chuck Pratt, and he has taken the show literally by storm and just took 80% of the main characters and just put them in a disaster. So let's run down the disasters real quick. So we had Neil, who got his eyesight back and saw Devon and Hillary in the hotel room. His vision came back. And then he and Devon and Hillary and Colin, Kane, Lily, and pretty much the Winters plus the two white folks. Okay. I mean, that's just the three white folks. I'm sorry. It's just everybody in that whole story was on this plane. So Neil starts drinking. Well, that happened last week. His son and his wife, Hillary, had been having this tour de fer while he's been, quote, blind. You know, well, actually, he was blind, but he just was pretending this last couple of days. And so he has a suitcase. It's like, you know, this metal suitcase, like Mission Impossible. And they're on a plane. And then, you know, it ends on Friday, I believe, where everybody thinks it's a bomb. Well, we come up Monday, and the plane crashes in the middle of God knows where, in between Genoa City and Chicago, because they were on their way to Chicago. And so here we are. We got a plane that crashed. Hillary is underneath the plane wing, dying. Kane is looking for Lily, because Lily has been thrown, well, I wish she was thrown into the Atlantic or Pacific, but she was just thrown into some bushes not too far away. Oops, there we go. I'm going to lose some followers because of that. That's what I was talking about a minute ago. And then we had Jill and look at the case to see what it was. Like Neil's I thought he was gonna like blow up his whole family, sort of like what Luke was doing over there, you know, once again, what, you know, the kind of parallel storylines in a way. So we got a plane crash, and I was like, oh, okay, plane crash. Then meanwhile, over in the underground, which is Nick's bar, everybody's there. Nick and Sage, Adam was there, but he left to go back home to his apartment. We got Avery and Joe, Nikki, Victor, Jack, and Phyllis, and Ashley, but Ashley left. I think that's about it. And then all of a sudden, Sage and Nick goes to the back room because the lights went out to go see if they can, you know, spark a fire between them, of course. And then, bam, the whole roof caves in. Because as we all know from watching it last week, Austin was told three times by the building inspector that somebody needed to, you know, that Nick needed to be there to get the building inspected. Well, because of Austin not telling, then they had the Valentine's Day party and everybody got tumbled down. So the poor day players, you know, the people that are just in the bar hanging out that aren't main characters, they all probably died. But so the roof collapsed. But before that, something mysterious happened. Phyllis and Jack were, you know, egging each other on, and, you know, and Phyllis made an ass of herself. And then, so Jack went with Kelly into the closet, wherever it was, somewhere, and they had ravaged 50 Shades of Grey type sex. Like, they were like 12-year-olds, well, not 12-year-olds, I shouldn't say that, like 17-year-olds. And that was just odd. So, and I'll talk to you, Kelly, about that in a second, about that my theory on that. And then, so Nick and Sage, here they are trapped in the storage room, and all they can think about is each other's passion. Oh, forget all my mom and dad or and everybody else is probably dead in the other room. They just start making out. Sort of like if you remember on Bold and the Beautiful years ago when there was an earthquake and Taylor and Ian Buchanan's character had sex because he was a virgin and thought he was going to die a virgin. And then Taylor got on top of that and took care of business. But anyway, we find out the next day that Victor wakes up and Nikki, and she's drunk and hysterical. She's drunk and she's cracking me up before the disaster. And then Jack's unconscious. So Victor, you know, gives the whole hi-ho pump, you know, CPR, you know, chest pumps to Jack to save his life. Then Joe's stuck underneath a beam, and little old Avery, bless her heart, she's trying to lift up that beam, you know, to save Joe. And that's pretty much where we left off with that. And then at the end of today's show, and the preview for tomorrow's show is that Jack is saying something about Adam, like Adam is, and we don't know what he's going to say. And we pray, you know, the Canadians that are listening, they know what he ended up saying tomorrow. But hopefully he does not say that Adam's alive. So meanwhile, then we have I Know What You Did Last Summer versus Clue going on in the cabin. Abby sends an anonymous text to everybody, which is, I feel like I'm doing storytelling. Everybody grab your blankets and get your s'mores ready. So Abby, you know, doesn't tell anybody, but she sends an anonymous text from probably a burner phone or something to have Kevin, Mariah, Summer, Austin, Finn, Courtney, and Noah, and Abby all show up at the Abbott cabin. This was so I Know What You Did Last Summer in Clue. So what happens is we see someone spike the punch. Everybody passes out. Everyone's passed out. Next day, we find out they all start waking up, and one's missing. And they somebody opens the closet door, and bam, Austin falls out, and he's got blood on his head, and he's dead. No pulse. So Austin's dead, which is really no loss to Young and Restless. I mean, he was great while he was there, but he says he's not. We've not seen the last damn, and we'll get to that in just a second with you, Kelly. So then everybody's throwing conspiracy theories, and everybody's having memories. Summer remembers putting the thing that apparently killed him with blood underneath a cushion. Mariah remembers seeing Abby and Austin having sex up against the wall. And then they say this all reminds them of this web series fan fiction that they've been reading, which we now know and have known because Kevin's been writing something from the police station for months, and I didn't know what that was going to be. So Kevin admits to writing the story that has the last chapter about the same scenario. So everybody's just like, who done it? Well, Finn was the one that ended up doing the whole drugging the people. So he drugged the people. They woke up. Austin's dead. So they're all trying to cover it up like, I know what you did last summer. So they drag Austin's body out, put some of his blood on the rock, and they leave him. And that's where they left off with that storyline. And then I'm almost done. And then we're going to talk about it. And then the last disaster, because, you know, everybody in Genoa City was affected by this except for three couples. Then, meanwhile, at the penthouse, Chelsea, the babies, the new baby and Connor and Billy are there, and there's a fire. So Billy gets Chelsea gets one of the babies out, and Billy has Connor. Chelsea gets down with, I can't remember the baby's name. It's the new baby. It's the one Billy and Victoria had. It gets them down out of the apartment. And then so the whole building's on fire. And so Billy goes back up to get Connor, which I can't believe he left Connor up there by himself, but he covered him up in a crib, and he went back up and got Connor. And so it ends that a couple days ago, I think it was yesterday, the day before, it ends with Connor and Billy just like dead. You know, you they're just out. There's smoke inhalation. Well, Adam shows up and he says, oh, Connor's up there. So he races up there and he gets Connor, and he just keeps, you know, Billy, wake up. Come on, Billy. And then he just says, oh, hell, forget it. I'm just going to go downstairs. So Adam races down, or quote, Gabriel races down and saves Connor, which, you know, now it's going to brownie points to with Chelsea now. And he goes, I got to go back up and get Billy. So he goes up and he finally gets Billy awake, but he says something like, I didn't come back to die like this. Adam said that, and Billy overheard that, and that's what happened today. So that's going on. So there's all these disasters going on at once. And then all of a sudden, we're going to bring Kelly in because she's the only one that watches currently Young and Restless with me, is then we have Sharon, who the writers had kind of redeemed, and the new writers are going to mess with her bipolar again, which really hits home with me, being that I have bipolar. I don't like the way they've written and utilized the disease on this show. Even though it's a show, they should still handle it with kindness. So in the meantime, the last thing, it's not really a disaster, Sharon slides off the road, hits her head, and Faith walked back to the house. Dylan sees the car off the right side of the road. He comes in and he's, you know, sees that she's got blood and says, we need to get you to the hospital. And then he's like, oh, no. She's like, oh, no, I can't do that, because then Nick will find out that this all happened and he'll try to take away Faith and blah, blah, blah. So it all ties into her court case that happened. So now that I did all that in 10 minutes, that's the up to date for those who have missed it. And for you, Courtney, that's what's going on. And that's a lot to take in. But literally everybody is in a disaster. The only people that weren't affected was Lauren and Michael, Paul and Christine, and Victoria and Stitch. Those and Esther, who God knows where Esther's at. But anyway, those people showed up today on today's episode, finding out about all this stuff that's going on. So, Kelly, what are your thoughts first with the storyline? Oh, I think she got disconnected. Kelly, can anybody hear me?
I hear you, but you've been going in and out.
But yeah. Then Kelly's gone. Oh, well, crap. She's here, but she's not online. Kelly, are you there?
Oh, there she is. She's back.
Is she? Because I can't hear her.
She says she is on the messenger.
Let me mute her, unmute her, and mute her again. Hold on a minute. Are you there, Kelly? Oh my goodness, where is she at? Okay. I see you typing, but I can't hear you guys.
Oh, for crying out loud.
I just said 10 minutes worth of stuff and it didn't even probably get told. So let me call in through the phone. Sorry for the technical difficulties. I don't know where everybody is at and why nobody is can hear me.
I'm here.
Yeah, we hear you, but you're fuzzy. You're not echoey like before. You're just kind of breaking in and breaking out. It's like once a minute, you're kind of going away.
Okay. Hello?
Kelly, are you there?
Kelly.
I'm here. I was here last time, and I was like yelling. I'm like, hello, I'm here. Why can't you hear me?
Oh, my gosh.
The whole time.
Oh,
heard
my
everything
gosh.
You said. I'm glad you didn't say anything hateful, because I would have heard that too. But
oh, well, I'm going to just go ahead and dial in as well. Okay, let's do a little disclaimer for Blog Talk Radio. God bless them. They have a good system, but they upgraded me and their new system is called, they don't have Skype anymore. You can't Skype in. It's called Direct Connect. So can you hear me while I'm telling you the story?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, well, see, now it's telling me to dial in. I'm dialing in through my phone, so just a second. But, okay, here. Okay, I'm going to put myself on now.
There we go. That sounds much better.
Okay.
God, I'm going to have to tell Blog Talk to fix this stuff. Anyway, so they updated their system, and you can't use Skype anymore, which is what I used to. Now it's called Direct Connect with your microphone. And they upgraded me to HD, which the audios that play, you know, like my intros and outros sound like, you know, HD. But I'm going to have to tell them that I'm having issues with the Direct Connect. I can't be having celebrity guests, especially, and have it cut in and out like that. So I guess I'm going to use my phone every time. Anyway, so you heard bits and pieces of my whole damn story. But anyway, so I'm going to ask you, Kelly, what did you think first off about the plane crash storyline? We're going to go through each disaster.
The plane crash like makes me wish half of them had joined the pilot and maybe not made it, because I mean, like, it's so ridiculous, and this is so just like Lily, because it's like, mm-hmm. You know, she's getting mad at everybody and slapping Devon and trying to, you know, attack Hillary. And I know what they did was wrong. I'm not saying they're right. And then she got mad at Kane, and Jill's in there running her mouth, and she doesn't really have anything to do with any of it. And Colin's just sitting back watching everybody, and I'm just like, he sucks. And I mean, like, and of course, the first thing Lily does when, you know, after Kane looks for her everywhere, finds her, brings her back to the fire, gets her warmed up, the first thing she does is like, you suck, you lied to me. Like, seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously, Lily. Like, calm down. Calm the freak down. I can't,
mm-hmm.
Like, there's two people, and you all know how I feel about them. There's two characters, and all they do is whine and complain and try to find something like to be upset about. And so Lily is constantly like digging with Devon or digging with Kane or digging with her dad. Like, shut up. How can you mm-hmm. be happy with your smoking hot husband and your two miracle children? Just calm down. Just calm
mm-hmm.
down and be freaking happy and quit trying to find something to be upset about. I know this
yeah.
is fake, but there's real people like that in life, and that pisses me off even more.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm glad that everybody knows that Neil got his fight back, and I'm glad Neil got his fight back. And hopefully, you know, after this whole thing is over, this whole plane crash and blah, 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 he'll look in a mirror and realize he needs a haircut.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and of course, Jill just instantly is like, oh, Colin, it's no big deal. no, you're not a con artist. It's all right. You know, why don't you help me run a multi-million-dollar company? Yeah. Where do you think that's going to go?
Yeah, exactly. So moving on, what do you think about the, I feel so bad because I was telling this whole story and it was cutting in and out. I was going into detail about everything.
I've seen most of it, so I remember. I remember most of the storylines, and you didn't cut out to the point that you I didn't know what you were saying, so it's okay.
Yeah, well, I'm gonna tell Blog Talk a thing or two because I'm a fucking professional. Damn it! Oh, I'm sorry. Put your kids to sleep. I get upset sometimes.
Rechanneling RuPaul's Drag Race there.
A little bit. Mm-hmm. So now. What are your thoughts? I wish you other two were caught up so we have more than just dialogue between us two. But don't worry, we're going to move to Courtney next. But what did you think about the underground storyline?
The underground storyline. I mean, obviously these past the week and a half or whatever, it's just been like one disaster after another, and you know, we all knew that something was going to happen to somebody, and you know, like. First, Jack has, and I'm telling you, I've said it before, it's been like a month ago or so, or maybe actually it was back around Thanksgiving, and I was talking about how these writers make some of these characters look so stupid, like they're oblivious to reality, and so they're like, you know, Jack approaches Kelly, because Kelly is still, like, up his butt crack. I mean, it's terrible the way they're portraying her in this. And I know she's better than that. I know that actress is better than that. But, I mean, she's just like, oh, my gosh, what's wrong with you, Jack? Like, seriously. Like, he's told you at least 7 times in the past couple of weeks that, you know, your relationship is over. And you're still going to go be like, you know, I think what you did to Phyllis was okay. And that's not because you're a good shut up. Shut up. But of course then he just, you know, proceeds to take her in the back closet and you know, they get it on and whatnot, and I mean, and then of course she's like laying on the floor like, oh my gosh, it's never been like that before. Shut up. Like, I'm more sick of the writers than I am her, you know, her acting, because if she's a very educated good woman, good actress, and she can act like she's this stupid, props to her.
Yeah.
Props to
now, her. Now, before we go on to the rest of that, I wanted, when I was telling you about pre-show, that I had a theory about that. I think, because Ashley was there also, but she got out before it fell, that what I believe is that somehow Victor put some of Hex either on Jack or Kelly, and that's why they just went into that mad 6 shades of gray sex in the other room, because, you know, as you know, the formula that Victor stole from Ashley was a pheromone type where it's supposed to like turn you on or whatever. I guarantee you that's
I mean,
it
had to be on Kelly, right? Because I mean, like, that doesn't really change anything for the way Kelly's been acted, you know, like, if they put it on Jack, then it would have been like, oh, you know, like, that's different, you know. Oh, Kelly's going after Jack. Surprise, surprise. It has to be on Kelly. And, I mean, like, good job for figuring out that junk works. Now, if they can make it work in real life and then I could go visit my boyfriend, maybe I would have had a better Valentine's Day.
Yeah, well, I'll get you a bottle of that. I've got connections with Ashley. So what did you think about the penthouse fire storyline with Adam and Billy, Chelsea, and Connor?
This is my first reaction to all that. Why is Chelsea going to leave her kid? Oh, let me take Billy's kids downstairs and leave Connor by himself. No. No. If that was me and I had, you know, I'm going to go get my kid. I'm not going to, like, yeah, she may love Billy, but I'm not going to worry about Billy's kid. I'm going to get my own kid. So I can, and she's just like, oh, let me go downstairs with Katie and Johnny and not, you know, act like everything's hunky-dory. Everything's so silly right now. I feel like I can find like a stupid part of every one of these storylines, and it's crazy.
Yeah.
But and that other going back to the underground, there, you know, like Nick and Sage are trying to dig out of the storeroom or the stock room or whatever, probably the same room that Phil or what's his face and what's her name, Kelly and Jack just, you know, got it on in, and then all of a sudden they're like making out. Like, you know what, there's people dying in the other room, you need to save that for later. But and now, then
what about the I Know What You Did Last Summer storyline going on with the Clueless bunch?
I it's confusing. I mean, it really, I don't even know what to say about it. Like, Austin's dead. We said last week, like, that's not really gonna, you know, that wouldn't be a significant loss. And so now we're just like, oh, wait, we were right, and it's not a big deal. So I don't, I mean, like, and he says, you know, oh, you haven't seen the last of me. Well, I've seen these, yet another twin theory being thrown around, you know, on some websites and stuff. And so it's just like, we just had one of those like 2 months ago when everybody was figuring everything out with Mariah and Cassie. That just happened. Like, I understand history repeats itself. If you need to repeat storylines every once in a while, at least wait 5 or 10 years to do it.
Yeah.
Don't do them like back to back. So if Austin actually has a twin and that's the reason that nobody knew about the, you know, the underground, the building, the inspector or whatever, and blah, 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 and all that stuff. Like, seriously, if Austin has a cousin, isn't it in the previews for tomorrow, like, Summer goes outside because, of course, she has something else to whine about. She goes outside and his body's gone. And so it's like, oh, great, where to go? It's, I mean, if the zombie apocalypse comes next on the internet.
It's either one of two things. He wasn't dead, but he had a low pulse because of that drug that was put in him. Maybe he had too much in his drink, and he really wasn't dead. And they faked his death. Faked his death. He gets up and goes away, or he's got a twin out there that finds out that his brother was killed or died and comes back to torment them. You know, we've done this before. If you guys remember, for fans that are listening, Cameron Crispin, who was involved with Sharon years ago, he faked his death and then tormented her. Do you remember that? Either one of you that watched Young and Restless, do you remember that? When he was like pretend to be a ghost and was tormenting Sharon? No? Okay.
I remember when Mariah did that, but I don't remember anybody else.
This was like 10 years ago, so this was a while back. Genoa City like goes way back in my brain. And then you had some comments about the Sharon situation, how they're
Oh my goodness. I mean, like I really want Sharon to be portrayed as a good mother, because it's obvious that she, you know, like, she's got that. She cares about her family. She loves Nick. She loves her kids, blah, blah, blah. And then, like, they instantly, after she lost the custody suit, they instantly turn her into, like, right before she got back on medication, Sharon. And she's losing her mind. You know what? Mm-hmm. If I pull out of, we're under a foot of snow here where I live. So if I pull out onto the road and I slip off the road into a ditch, nobody's going to think I'm insane and need to be committed. But they're like, she's running with this whole, like, oh my God, Nick's going to think I'm crazy and I can't take care of Faith. And then, like, you hit a patch of ice and ran off the road. That's normal. Normal people do that. It's okay. But the way they're writing it for her, they're making her freak out. And, you know, like, and then when they get to, like, today, when they get to Crimson Lights, she's like, oh, I can't go in there. There's all these police. I can't go in there. Like, seriously, calm down. It's okay.
Yeah.
You're completely normal. You ran off the road because you're trying to get your child somewhere where she's not going to be a popsicle. Props to you. That's being a good parent. Good job.
Good job. Well, you know, it's going to come back to bite her. As I said, you know, the writers before really took Sharon and just drowned her with the whole bipolar storyline. And then it seemed like they were getting her back, you know, sane. And then today, or yesterday or today, you know, she's just acting crazy. So it's just like, you know, she hit her head. So I think it was Kate and Connie over on Kelly Sullivan, who plays Sage on Young Restless, also was on before this was on General Hospital as a character that had DID, dissociative identity disorder, where it was one person, sort of like split personality, and she would like hit her head or something, and then like go into another personality. So who knows? Maybe they're going that route. It seems like they're paralleling General Hospital stuff anyway. Before we go on, there's a caller, so I don't know if they're calling in to talk about Young and the Restless or not. So let's see. Area code 630, how are you? Area code 630. Okay, well, you just keep on holding, and I'll come back to you in a minute. Are you guys there?
Yeah,
I'm here.
We are.
Yeah.
Okay, well, 630, area code 360, I'm going to bring you back on the air in just a second after we finish this this next section. Now, somebody made a comment, and I know this is just a show, but I had to laugh, but somebody made a comment about something. Because I have TweetDeck on my second monitor, and I have a column dedicated just to hashtag YR and a column dedicated to hashtag GH, because those are the two I watch. And as I sit here throughout the day, I can just watch them scroll by. And with all this madness going on with everyone else, I was kind of wondering, like, where is Michael and Lauren? And somebody had tweeted, this is horrible, Michael is probably in hospice by the time they get to him.
Oh.
Because Michael, for those who don't watch the show, Michael Baldwin, played by Christian LeBlanc, is currently just got diagnosed with prostate cancer. So because he was not involved in this whole week of drama, that person made that comment. And I mean, that's horrible, horrible. But people have dark humor, so just wanted to give a horrible shout out to that person. Let me try 630.
That was so bad.
I know it was bad. 630, are you there now?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
What's your name?
Julie.
Julie, where are you from?
Chicago.
Chicago. Are you under a lot of snow up there?
No. Actually, no.
That's good. So were you calling to weigh in about Young and the Restless or a different soap? Because we haven't got to the other soap yet.
I'm actually calling for Bold and Beautiful.
Oh, well, actually, you and
Girl, I'm so glad you called.
Why don't you? Okay, we'll just leave Young Restless for now. And Kelly, tell us what's going on with Bold and Beautiful, and then we'll have Julie input with you. I know,
okay.
Brooke's back and drunk. That's all I heard.
Exactly. That's pretty much the only story. Katie and Bill got married today. Which made me, or like with throughout this week, it makes me happy because I've said it before. I love Katie and Bill together. Love it, love it, love it. The thing that's killing me right now is Eric came back today too. And he's like, you know, I knew about everything you did while I was gone, Rick. And I mean, like, I loved today's episode at the beginning because Rick was like, stuttering all over himself and stammering around and be like, oh, Dad, I did some things while you were gone that might not make you very happy. And so he told them about moving into the main house and lying to Ivy and Allie about the house, you know, the guest house being remodeled and putting up, what's her name's picture, blah, blah, blah. Told him all that. And Eric's like, you think I didn't know? Like, I knew all that. And then he was just like, but you know what? The numbers are good, so I don't care. So it's basically like, hey, Rick, you can continue to be a tyrant asshole, and I'm just going to sit back as long as you're bringing in money and let it go on. So it's frustrating. Like, because that storyline to me, because, like, I'm a big fan of, like, Ivy and Allie and whatever, and the fact that, like, they're writing this, like, you know, Rick and Maya are like making fun of them and basically being like, you know, Maya's like, I don't know why they still live in this house. I'm like, hello, they're foresters. Like, that's mm-hmm. the forester main house. That's why they live there. You, up until just a month ago, were a forester side piece. So calm down, get off your high horse, and go home. But, you know, of course, she's not gonna go home, Lord knows, because she's making herself at home in Eric's house. But, I mean, Eric's like, oh, don't worry about it. I'll just move into the guest house. And so they're just going to let everything, like, proceed to go on. And, of course, Brooke's drunk all the time, and she doesn't think Rick's doing anything wrong. No, so, like, nobody's going to call him out on his shit. And everybody's just be like, oh, it's no big deal. No big deal. But it's just crazy. And of course, today, Steffi, like, went to Liam's house in a bikini. And I'm like, look, he's supposed to love Ivy. So please leave him alone, because I like Liam and Ivy together. But, I mean, like, everything else has just felt like, in the past 3 days, Brooke had a bottle of vodka and 7 glasses of champagne at the wedding. So she's drunk. She's really drunk.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Julie, what's your input and thoughts on that?
I agree with her. She's good. What she just said, I agree with her. I definitely agree that. I don't like the storyline with Rich and the other girl. Yes. I don't like that storyline, but I don't like when Steffi's back. I think Liam's happy with Ivy.
Amen, sister. Look, I'm just glad there's somebody else that's here that has an opinion on on the beautiful, because nobody else watches it with me. But
let me just input real quick. I will start watching. It's been a year this week that I have not watched it. So I will start watching it, since it's only 20 minutes without commercials, just so I can have an input. Now I'm going to have to really pay attention to what you're saying every week so I can get caught up. But let me just ask one question. The only person I enjoyed before I left watching it was Quinn. Is she still on there, or did she get killed off, or what? Is she around?
No, she's still there. I mean, her and Deacon are, like, together, so it's, you know, it's cute. Because, like, right now, they're not involved in anything else. So, like, it shows them every once in a while, but it's just, like today, you remember when she, well, you don't remember. A few months ago, like, before Bill got back with Brooke the second time before they tried to get married, Quinn, like, brought a whip and some chains and stuff over to Bill's house. But, like, she brought that out today with Deacon. So I was like, dang it. Like, but, I mean, like, they're, like, right now they're not involved in any other storyline. Because, I mean, like, they just, I mean, they're just doing their own thing. But I do agree. Like, Julie mentioned the, like, Ridge and Caroline. And everybody is, everybody's criticizing, you know, Ridge and Caroline together. Bill criticized it, and Steffi criticized it, which to me is like, you know, hello, you did this 2 years ago, and you're about the same ages as Caroline and Ridge. So how are you now sitting here saying that, oh, that's so disgusting and wrong, when Steffi was just trying to be with Bill, like, a couple years ago? Seriously. I mean, like, I guess people's memory span on this show is, like, 20 minutes, so who knows? But I don't like, and I mean, like, I've seen in some spoilers that Caroline actually ends up with somebody else. I kind of don't want to, like, blow it, because I don't know if it's actually going to happen or not, but.
We can talk about rumors. Rumors are fine.
Well, I've seen in some spoilers that, you know, after the first of the year that Caroline actually ends up with Carter. So
he's still around? Oh, wow.
Yeah, Carter. I mean, he's still the Forester attorney, so he's still there. He did Brooke and, not Brooke, he did their wedding today. So, I mean, he's still there. But, you know, I would like to see that, because to me, that is the the not necessarily her being with Ridge, but her being with Carter is sticking it to both Maya and Rick, because they can, you know, be together and be happy and be like, look, you could have had you two, but you suck and you don't have it. So I'm sick to death of that, like, Maya and Rick thinking they're better than everybody and, like, laughing at people and making fun of them and whatever. It's dumb. It's old and tired.
Julie, do you have any more comments?
I agree with her. I am sick. I don't like Maya either.
Yeah, has her hair tamed down since I last watched it a year ago? Because she had some big fro going on.
Oh, yeah. They put some relaxer on that mess. She looks fine now.
Okay, good. I mean, her hair took up the whole television, and I have a 55-inch television, so it was a lot of hair. I'm just being mean, sorry. So how long has Brooke been a drunk? Because I didn't know that. So I know she just came back, so... has she been drinking since she came back, or did she come back a drunk, or what's going on there?
Yeah, she came back and realized that, you know, oh, Ridge is with Caroline, and you know, Bill is back with Katie, and she's, you know, she was doing this whole, like, Valentine's Day episode, and everybody's celebrating with the ones they love, and I'm just here by myself, and so she drinks herself into a stupor. You know, because every man she's ever loved is happy with someone else. And, you know, it's poor, aww, poor, pitiful Brooke. Yeah,
poor
I don't feel
Brooke.
Bad for her. Don't feel
poor,
bad. Sorry.
Poor Brooke.
Mm-mm.
Okay, well, Julie, is there anything else? Because we're going to move on. Do you watch any other shows, Julie?
General GH.
Oh, well, good. Then just hold the line, because we're going to let Courtney talk, because she's probably dead by now, because we haven't talked about Days of Our Lives. So if you want to hold on, we're going to talk about General Hospital, but she's going to do a quick recap of Days of Our Lives. So what's been going on in Salem over there, Miss Courtney Tripp?
Well, before I say anything about Days of Our Lives, I just want everybody to know that I do know things about Young and the Restless. Like, the one big thing that I had been stuck on was I wanted Neil to find out about that affair, because it was just so appalling. It just really upset me, and I'm not going to talk about it. So, anyway, but I'm not completely dead. I was listening.
Okay.
This week, the main thing that's going on in Salem is Sonny has found out that Will was cheating, and he found out by he writes for a magazine called Sonics, and he wrote an article about Paul, which is Sonny's ex, and Paul, I guess he came out in the article, and then it came out that that Will was the person that Paul had the affair with, because he confessed to Sonny, yeah, I slept with somebody. So, and then it just evolved, and Sonny found out. Freddie Smith's portrayal of his finding out was really, really hard to watch, because it was real, really realistic. And I wasn't a big fan of Will and Sonny until the storyline kind of evolved into the affair. And I wasn't appreciative of the affair, but at the same time, it kind of amped up the actors' abilities, if that makes any sense. It gave them something that challenged them. So it was something that I looked forward to. And then when Teresa had been kidnapped by Kristen's evil doctor, Mandrake, it turned out that Teresa's little boyfriend, Clint, that just kind of came out of nowhere, was kind of a character that we didn't quite understand, and he ended up revealing his name was Clint. Well, then Teresa said to him, when he just suddenly stopped being interested in her, I thought this was funny, she said, I don't even know your last name, and he goes, Eastwood, and walks away. Like, what is that even about? And it was just really funny. And so Melanie, who's dating Brady now, obviously hasn't anything to do with Teresa, but she overheard Clint talking to Dr. Mandrake. Well, she didn't know who Dr. Mandrake was, and Melanie is just a really, you know, nosy character anyway. So when she heard this, she decided that she was going to find out what that was about, because obviously she realized, okay, I may not like this woman, but there's something wrong, and so I'm going to have to look into this, because Melanie's just, she's like her dad. Daniel is the same way. He's got to make everything right, even when it's not his business. And so she's looking into that. And Nicole, who used to be dating her dad, Daniel, she said to her, look, you're good at, you're an investigator, a reporter, and so you can help me find out who this guy is. So that's going on as well. And then that's, this is setting the road for Kristen to come back. And she'll be back in the spring, and everybody's looking forward to that because there's not been a lot of Damaras on anymore. It's been mainly just the Kiriakos storyline because, you know, Stefano hasn't been on the canvas, which he will be again. But he's had some, the actor himself has had some health issues, so he's had to take some time off. And Victor Kiriakos is back to being the big bad wolf, and he's the one getting in the middle of everything. So as of the Eric and Serena storyline, Eric had been holding off on her because he was religious and didn't want to have sex outside of marriage. And then finally today he just decided, you know what, I think I'm ready. Let's go for it. And they slept together today, and she was going to switch the elephant statues, that story that I can't stand, and she was going to switch them. And when she comes back into the room to switch it, the elephant statue is gone. So somebody else already got hold of it. So, I mean, obviously that's something that we'll figure out, likely care, but we'll figure out who that was that took it. And then Marlena found out, going back to the Wilson storyline, that Paul came to her, because, you know, she's a psychologist, and comes to her and says, you know, I'm ready to come out and everything. And, you know, he says, well, I've hurt the man that I'm in love with. And so he elaborates on the story and reveals to Marlena that he slept with her grandson, Will. And so Marlena, she about had a stroke, and her reaction was priceless. And I know it's a pretty serious thing. I guess it's supposed to be a serious storyline, but I kind of laughed because her eyes bugged out of her head. And it was just really funny to watch. But that's pretty much mainly what's going on. I don't follow the Hope and Aiden storyline at all. I'm just too bored with it. So that's pretty much what's going on.
Now, what has it been like now with Sammy and EJ off the canvas, because they were such, you know, big EJammy fans forever. Now they're both gone. And so what's the show been like with the lack of them historically?
It's a lot harder to enjoy, obviously, because they were the two main people that got me interested in Days. And then obviously it was a huge loss for the show whenever they did leave, because like I said on the last show, that a lot of fans said, I will not watch this show anymore because you did this to us. And so the way they wrote them out, people were just, they felt betrayed. So there are some strong stories, but they fizzle out really quick, and the bar's just not as high. They don't set it as high as they used to. Like I said, they shrunk the sets, and it's just, I think overall, could it be a bigger disappointment? Yes. Is it the worst it could be? No.
Yeah. Well, you guys having some new writers coming in, or actually old writers coming back, and Josh Griffith joining, so maybe they can help. It looks like that's the one show that's in the fear zone or the red zone right now. So I hope and pray that the new writers can, you know, now that Josh doesn't have to work for Jill Farren Phillips, you know, maybe he can have a little bit more fun exploring writing and bringing some spice to the soap. I can't make
it
because I don't watch it.
Right. They, I mean, one of the writers, she's been on there before, and the reaction that the fans had was, oh, okay, you know, take away one bad writer and give me one that's worse. I mean, that's their attitude about it. I mean, that's, I don't know much about her. I don't know what she wrote and what she didn't. So I don't really have a right to pass criticism on her because I don't know. But the fans themselves have the same reaction that, you know, Daytime Confidential and other people are basically saying Days of Our Lives is in trouble, period.
Yeah.
And it leaves you worried.
Yeah, so. It does. It could be the next to go. And that really, you know, that'll leave not only one less soap, but no soaps, no daytime on NBC at all. So that's, let's just hope that these new people can, you know, jazzercise it, or as you can pray to the soap gods, because we all do, because you never know, any of our soaps can be taken away at any time because of money and such. But, you know, speaking of shows, you know, Melody Thomas Scott, who plays Nikki Newman on Young Restless, just signed a 3-year contract. So when a person signs a 3-year contract, but yet the show's contract is up in 2017, it's like, how do you figure that? So you never know. You just have to stay tuned and keep staying tuned, you know. Whether you don't like the show right now of any of the shows, keep watching. The ratings help. The DVRs help. The online viewing counts. Just keep watching. You know, I'm gonna have a little sound off about this later on. But anyway, thank you so much, Courtney, for that. You're so good at this. And you can also follow her show, and you can follow her on Twitter at 3B Soap Reviews. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. That's it.
Yes. Yeah. All right. At 3B Soap Reviews, she has a show on
Sunday.
Every Sunday. And you can get all the Courtney you want there. So, all right. Now we got to resurrect and wake up Michael. I got to make this away. So I just wish everybody watched all the damn shows so we wouldn't have a silence, because I don't even know if Michael's awake. Michael, are you touching yourself?
I'm here. I've heard everything you say. I did want to say one comment about Young and Restless.
Okay, go ahead.
So, with Chuck Pratt being, you know, head writer again, is what's going on right now, is that his material, do you know, because he started to air?
Yes. All this disaster is his beginning material.
I thought so. That was one of the major complaints when he was in charge at General Hospital, that he was always more plot-driven than character-driven. You know, he was very good at coming up with trains crashing underneath the mountains and a baby had to be born and then you lost your sight or I don't know, like all this stuff happening. Sometimes it worked and sometimes it felt a little inauthentic. So I was just wondering if that's something you were seeing, but it seems like maybe you are. So
yeah, he's pretty much taken almost the core characters, put them in a Yahtzee cup, shook them, and then threw them out to a disaster. So now in defense of the show, not familiar with Chuck. I'm not familiar with Chuck, just like I wasn't familiar with Jill Fehrenfeld until I got the whole scoop when that happened, when she joined Young Restless. But with Chuck, I've heard some stuff. But for me, like it or not, this disaster storyline is really going to shake up things and give fresh new storylines and with the current characters, because the canvas has been kind of boring for quite a while, as we've talked about on this season and last season when we were on. So there's fans going crazy that they hate it, that Chuck's ruining it, blah, 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 they're ruining characters. But you know what? It's a lot more exciting than what we've had. We haven't had any excitement on the show. It's been very, a little bit more character driven, but it's also been plot boring.
When he's good, he's good.
I think it's going to be great. I give hope, you know. So now Kelly, real quick before we go to GH, what are your thoughts about, you know, what I just said about Chuck taking this and just shaking everybody up and, you know, giving it a new canvas per se to play with?
I mean, I don't mind a new, you know, a little shake up, because I mean, you know, we talk all the time, like, you know, things maybe getting a little boring or whatever. So I definitely don't mind that there's a little bit of, you know, a little bit of action. I love the drama, like hanging on to see, like, is everybody going to make it? What are we going to do? Like, oh, my, you know, I did not freak out and realize, oh, my gosh, what are we going to do without Austin? I would have, however, if something had happened to Nick, I would have been like, you know what, I quit. I'm done. I'm out. I friggin' love Joshua Morrow.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, but before we go to GH, we want to go back to Days of Our Lives, because, you know, we always do news here as well. But Days of Our Lives star Freddie Smith, many of you know who are fans of him. In real life, he was involved in a vehicular assault case. It was reported yesterday that he was sentenced to 2 years of community control and a driver's license suspension. The police found that Smith was over the legal limit for alcohol in the state of Ohio with a blood alcohol level at 0.093. So hope he learned his lesson. It's really, really sad and unfortunate. So I don't know how this is going to affect his life, but hopefully, you know, he can get his 2 years of community service or control. I'm not sure what community control versus community service is, but also a driver's license suspension. So he can no longer drive.
He was facing some serious time in prison.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So I can't remember how many years they said he was facing, but he was facing quite a number of years. So, honestly, I mean, some people will look at this and say, I can't live like it. I mean, this is the worst thing that could happen to me. Really, no, it's not, because he was